Father, I ask that you would, be with us as we connect together, even though we may be far apart, that we would allow space for you to be present with us and our families as we land 2025. And as we enter 2026, Father, I'm grateful that you are not bound by time and you're not bound by space. I ask you to bless my brothers and sisters, and that this message, motivated by your word, would reach hearts ready to receive. And you would help us to get out of our comfort zone, even as we are in likely comfortable spaces. And that you would drive us into the next chapters of our lives, Lord God, on mission with you, as we reflect on what you've done and what you're doing. That you would have your way in us, even in this time, Lord God, of so many doubts and frustrations, hopes and opportunities, Lord God, that we just give it all to you. And ask you, Lord God, I ask you that you would help us to do that, to do the laying down, to align our will to yours, and that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Bobby, Director of Care and Community at Discovery Community Church. And welcome to Stay at Home Worship. This is a chance for you to finish up this year participating in a digital Sunday service format with family, friends, or on your own. It's just another way to lean into God's Word while we pause in-person services this week. As a reminder, we resume Sunday services on January 4th at the Lincoln High School cafeteria. We love to see you there. You know, for the past several weeks, we've been in a series titled Emmanuel, Experiencing God's Presence. And we've been looking at the promise and the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. We've been looking at the cast of characters surrounding his world-changing birth and the context in which God took on flesh in the story of the first Christmas. And in this series, we've discussed God's perfect plan, the opportunity to be part of the journey in pursuing Jesus, and the gift we've been given in being part of joyful worship. And as we land our series of Emmanuel and the final sermon of the year, we'll examine the wisdom of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who treasured, pondered, and reflected in her heart those things about her son, her savior, her king and lord that were true. And I believe the posture of Mary offers insight for us to live our lives as believers in such a way that we are thoughtful in reflection about what God has promised, what God is doing, and what God has done in our lives. You know, it's that time of year when people will start making plans. They'll make resolutions. People are thinking about who they are and who they want to be. And others of us are exhausted. We're ready to be done with 2025. We're ready to turn that page. And so others are concerned about what's ahead, concerned about their circumstances. And they'd rather not even think about entering a new year. And I get it. Life can be complex. There are challenges, there's hurts, there's sorrows, there's opportunities, and days turn into weeks turn into months, and years can stack up where we feel like our situation won't change. We can feel like our opportunities are growing out of our reach. And entering a new year doesn't always bring excitement. For so many, life doesn't always feel like progress. But I want to encourage us that in Christ, we have been given a hope to look forward to and a call to lean into and a past, a former way of living and thinking and being that Jesus has saved us from. Hallelujah. Our journeys with the King are going to be different. Still, though, we're on a journey. We're going somewhere, and we're just going at different speeds, going in different contexts. It makes me think of cars, right? Automobiles come in different makes and models. They have different use cases. They're built for different customers and users in mind. Some are built to carry construction, workers, and materials. Some are built to carry families. Some are built to carry emergency responders. They're vastly different in how they're created, from their dashboards and their seating. They're vastly different in the materials used to create them. Yet, there are some consistencies across vehicles that without these items, the vehicle would be useless, or worse, highly dangerous. Three items come to mind that have specific use cases across all vehicles, no matter their context, no matter who's driving them. One is the gas pedal, right? The other is the brake pedal, and finally, the rear view mirror. That gas pedal is designed to move us forward, right? To help the occupants get from one place to another. And the brake pedal is critical for stopping motion and avoiding damage to the vehicle, to the drivers, or whoever or whatever else might be around them at that time. But then there's the rear view mirror. The rear view mirror is built to help the driver know what's behind them. It seems that across make and model and use case and what the driver needs, having the ability to see what's behind us is important. A brief Google search will tell us that the rear view mirror is a crucial safety tool in being able to avoid collisions with what's behind the vehicle. As we land 2025, I want to encourage us to live lives that appreciate the progress we find in Christ, the wisdom in living according to how he slows us down and where he slows us down, and living mindful that we are not bound by what's behind us. And there's wisdom in being mindful of where we are in the journey and what our journey has brought us through. If you will allow me, I'd like to speak to us from the book of Luke, the second chapter, verses 18 through 20, in a sermon titled Living in Reflection. So go ahead, grab your Bible. I got mine here. And let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So let's talk about the story of Mary. So Mary was in every sense a normal young woman. We can assume that she was not on the level of today's social media influencers. She wasn't very popular. She wasn't someone that was famous, right? Not at that time. She was from a town called Nazareth of Galilee. And it was assumed at that time that not much good could come out of that town. Yet God found favor in this young woman. The Bible says that after she was engaged to be married to Joseph, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to Galilee to let Mary know that she had found favor with God and that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son. She was instructed to call his name Jesus and that he would be great, so great that God would give him the throne of David and he would reign in the house of Jacob forever, and that his kingdom would have no end. All of these words Mary pondered. She thought about them. Now, Mary, like many people in those days, would have understood all of Gabriel's words to be the revelation or the outcome of prophecy. See, Hebrews were waiting on a promise because they were caught in a political, social, military control by foreigners. They had a spiritual leadership system that was compromised for power and riches. But Mary, hearing from the angel, knew that she had been chosen to carry the Messiah in her womb. She would give birth, and on this momentous occasion, she would be visited by the Magi or the wise men. Shepherds would also appear to celebrate the birth of the king. And in this moment, this new mother takes it all in. She looks in the rearview mirror, and the Bible says she pondered in her heart all she had treasured up. There's no love like a mother's. And Mary must navigate both the responsibility of parenting this young man and the humility of understanding that Christ is the Son of God with a plan for his life. She steps on the gas, loving, caring, providing, stewarding the gift of parenthood. And from time to time, she must apply the brakes to realize that God's plan for this young man is out of her control. Early in Jesus' life, the family was on a trip to the temple. It's a common occasion where in the city of Jerusalem, it'd be filled with pilgrims coming to celebrate Passover. And Jesus went missing. His parents couldn't find him. It took them 3 days to find young Jesus. And when they found him, he was hanging out in the temple, sitting among the teachers. The Bible says he was listening to them and asking questions. Mary must have been fully on the gas looking for her son. But at this moment, Jesus asked her to pump the brakes. In Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 51, we read, "And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." On the gas, right? Desperately searching as a mother, breaking as she worked to understand the fullness of his calling, pausing to look in the rear view of all that has taken place in her life at that point. What a rich journey as a parent. What a remarkable young woman, a mother, a champion of the faith, to live with intention, literally living with God on his mission and reflecting on the life that God has called her to. There's so much we can learn from the treasuring up that Mary's life and story teaches. Okay, so none of us are going to be Mary. That job has already been taken and filled. But just like Mary, you have a calling on your life. We are not called to be on autopilot, walking through life as though each breath isn't a divinely ordained gift from God. Based on where you are in your life, the season you're in, the challenges you're going through, the failures you've experienced, it might be hard for you to hear that your life has divine meaning. But that doesn't make it any less true. You matter to God's plan and his purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." How cool is that? How amazing is it? I pray that you are encouraged by Ephesians 2:10 as we enter 2026. Look, you and I are called to good works. Good works. That we should what? Sit in? Think about? The Bible says walk in. I can't sit and walk at the same time. There's a call to action expected in the life that we have in Christ. It doesn't matter your background, your age, your failures, the challenges of 2025. What matters most is a life of intention that can only be found in Jesus. Living with intention is no easy task, especially if we live with our intentions set on the ways of this world. See how the world navigates stepping on the gas, how the world navigates hitting the brakes, how the world navigates using the rearview mirror. Friends, it's all flawed. The world will tell us that 2025 wasn't a success if we didn't hit our goals, if we don't have that gadget, that status, if we don't have that person, if we have any undesirable circumstances in life, then we've missed out on something. As Jesus people, much like Mary, it's important that we keep our foot on the gas, knowing that the intention we're called to is not of this world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Living with intention will have us live a life shaped by Christ instead of what we see on our social media feeds and what we worry about in the news. Instead, intention leads to transformation and renewal in our pattern of thinking. What would your life, your marriage, your job, your business, your family look like if your intentions were more aligned to the will of God? Each day is a new way to discover the answer to that question. What we're talking about here really boils down to living with God in the center of everything. Throughout this series, we've discussed James chapter 4, verse 8, and the meaning it brings to the life of the believer. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Living with God is that simple, that beautiful, that possible if we do the drawing near. If we step on the gas in 2026 and move closer to God, what might that mean for us? It might mean an entirely different life for you. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I know I'm speaking of this in ways that make it sound like options. And they are options in the sense that God has given us free will. That the life of the Christian isn't one of robotic following an empty, unquestioning faith. On the contrary, following God is acknowledging the brokenness we see around us. God bless them as they're on their way. The brokenness and sin we wade through, yet knowing that whether we navigate the good, the bad, the uncertain, we navigate, all of our navigating happens in God. And God is in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God dwells in you. What's he doing in there? I doubt he's enjoying playing Call of Duty. I doubt he's enjoying scrolling on my cell phone or watching another bad TV show. He has to be up to more than gathering offenses and wading through my political echo chamber. He's got to be more interested in something other than my neighbor's inability to follow the rental agreement as well as I can. What God is up to with us as the temple he abides in is no secret. John 20:21 says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. I am sending you. Let's look at another verse. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And watch this. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I know I just kind of sped through those, but are you catching it yet? This life that we live is not our own. God has commissioned you and me, much like he did Mary, for a mission. And the Bible says that we have received power in the Holy Spirit to do that mission. Foot on the gas, y'all. This is the life we're called to. Mary knew of the promise of the Messiah. Many of us have believed on Jesus and call him Savior and Lord. And Mary carried Jesus in her womb. And as believers, the scripture says that God lives within us. We are his temple. Mary moved on mission. Mary used the brakes to pause when it was necessary. And Mary used the rearview mirror to reflect and treasure what God was doing in her life according to his promises. I believe that living in reflection is a gift. It is driven by what we know about God and his promises and how we allow the goals in our lives to be shaped by his word and how we step forward, treasuring what he's up to on the journey. So let's talk about living in reflection and some things that we can do to live in reflection. Number one is to know God. If we're going to live in reflection, using our rearview mirror to watch the works of God take place and shaping our lives, we have to know what his word says. In his word, we get revelation. We get clarity about what God is up to. No, the Bible's not going to explicitly tell you what to do day to day. But in reading it, we can learn about God's character. We can learn about God's wisdom. And we can better align our character and actions to who he is. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21 says, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good." I want to challenge us as we move into 2026 to understand God more. An essential element of this is time spent in his word. We read God's word to understand what it meant for those scripture was written for then and how it can be applied to our lives now. If we read scripture and we push back against it, we miss out on understanding God's will for us. Knowing God's will is essential for shaping our lives and the goals that drive us forward. We're going to live with intention. We should allow God to shape our goals. Proverbs 16:19 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Look, it's right and good for us to have plans. It's right and good for us to desire progress and have fulfilled lives. But not by those things which the world deems as success, but by those things that bring glory and praise to God. And this is an essential element of the believer's life. So I want to challenge us as we move into 2026 to take our plans and our goals and our worries and our needs to God in prayer, believing that he will establish our steps. And I want to offer some practical ways that we can step out. I want to encourage us to take at least one next best step and living a life in reflection by moving forward. And we can do this by engaging in faithful Bible reading. Look, you can Google a Bible reading plan, and we're going to provide some plans at the beginning of the year. But if you want to get a head start, I Googled one that you can check out by following this QR code. Your next best step in living a life of reflection might be joining a small group. We're launching Winter Small Groups on January 18th, and this is your opportunity to start a new group, to join a group, or recommit to the group you're already part of. If you're looking for deeper relationships, if you're seeking a tribe to study the Bible with, people who will be there when you need prayer and resources, then it's time you think about joining a small group. I'm launching a new small group in January that will meet at Lincoln, and times are still being worked out. But if you're interested in joining a small group, you can follow this QR code for information on times and locations of current small groups out there. We really want to encourage you to take a next best step in joining a group. But maybe for you, your next best step is serving on a team. You know, on any given Sunday, the chairs you see set up, the kids you see being served in Disco Kids, the refreshments that we have in our hospitality area, the worship, you name it. Nothing happens by accident, and discovery is mostly led and served by and through volunteers. Is 2026 the year you commit or recommit to serving at Discovery on mission in the local church? If you're on the fence about serving at church, take those concerns and take those hesitations to God. I guarantee you, he will help you sort them out. If you're ready to begin serving, send us a message using a connection card. And you can find a QR code for a connection card here. Your next best step might be partnering on mission with Discovery by being a faithful giver. Listen, we believe this is God's church, and we believe he's building his church. And we want to be good stewards of what he's up to in our local body. All of our missions and impact we have on this local community and communities abroad happen because of faithful givers. We believe in what God's word says, that we should give without compulsion. So if giving is something you haven't done before, maybe you seek God in prayer for any hesitation. If you want clarity on how much or how often, the Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. So if the whole conversation causes you stress, take that to him in prayer and allow him to sort it out. Amen. In all of these next steps, we have an opportunity to be more like Mary. At some point, after stepping out, we'll be able to look back in the rearview mirror and see the fruit of God's faithfulness. I started out 2025 saying I was going to write a book. I talked to everybody in my professional circles about it. I discussed it with my family and friends. I even invested in a writing coach. And here we are at the end of 2025, and I ain't got no book. Look, I always want to be first honest with myself and second honest with those around me. Just being real, not finishing that book was a disappointment. Actually, it felt kind of embarrassing. I said I was going to do something. I didn't get it done. And in fact, I feel like that was a theme for much of my life in 2025. It's a lot I didn't get done. So I brought this feeling to my coach, and he reminded me that my journey is not about the book. It's about so much more. It's about what I'm learning about how I write and how I share my thoughts and express myself. He encouraged me that many books are ahead, Lord willing, and that I don't need to be focused on one book, but I need to be focused on the writer. I'm grateful for his kindness, and I believe there's wisdom for all of us in his words, that no matter what happened for you, to you in 2025, good or bad, you and I are here, that the journey isn't over and we're better for it. Family, God is still up to something. He's not done. And there's so much to be gained in looking back and treasuring what he's been faithful for. Listen, if you're breathing right now, he's been faithful. If you've been fed this year, he's been faithful. If you're still in that marriage, amen, he's been faithful. If the kids came home safe last night, he's been faithful. Even though the doctor's report wasn't great, he's been faithful. Even though those bills haven't been paid yet, he's been faithful. What you see in reflecting is all about how you've positioned your rearview mirror. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for those who will hear these words, who will examine your words in your Holy Scriptures, who will be motivated to press in, to step out in 2025. Those who will lean into the wisdom of your Holy Spirit and pause some things and stop some things in 2025, but that we all would be able to, in a year's time, look in the rearview mirror and celebrate your goodness and grace and mercy. And that it won't always be exciting by the world standards, but that we will lean into your standard, that we will lean into trusting you more, that we will lean into following you more, that we will mark our days by the praise and worship we give you. And Father, as we do that, Father, that you would take us to faith and glory to glory, that you would build us up, you would raise us up to be equipped for the mission that you have called us to. Give us boldness where there's opportunity to speak truth. Give us patience where there's opportunity to show love. And give us grit and determination and faithfulness when it looks hard. Thank you for this family of believers. And thank you for everyone else who may not be a part of this family, but may have heard this sermon some other way. That these are your words and your intentions for what you're up to. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give us all an opportunity to participate in some giving back today. So if you like to give today, you can use the QR code here to do so. If you're stopping in to visit in this virtual service, know that we don't want your money, but we'd love to learn more about you. Look, if you need prayer, if you'd like to share what God has done for you in 2025, or just simply want to let us know how you heard about Discovery, this QR code gives you an opportunity to complete a connection card. Don't worry, we won't share your information with anyone. We just want to get to know you better. Look, family, I am so excited. We're back in person in January, or on January 4th at Lincoln High School cafeteria at 10 a.m. We'd love to see you there. If you want to serve, hey, show up at 8:30, show up at 9 o'clock. We'll put you to work. And listen, as we move into 2026, let's bring an intention to live with God, foot on the gas, abiding in him and he in us, learning to listen, when to bow our will to his, put our foot on the brake pedal, and enjoying the journey, no matter how imperfect, as we live in reflection. gaining joy and wisdom as we use the rearview mirror to appreciate His goodness. God bless you and yours. Happy New Year.